Songezo Mapece on The Viewpoint.
Thanks for your indulgence, and Ntabiseng, saying welcome back. It's been a while since you and I had an exchange. I hope you are well.
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Let's talk about things that many people could actually do well to know. The Small Claims Court. I'm not going to ask you questions. Just give us, if you like, intro to Law 101, South African courts and their jurisdiction. In this case, the Small Claims Court.
Yes. All right. So the Small Claims Court is there for parties who cannot afford attorneys. That's the first thing. And the second thing would be for claims that are below, that are 15,000 rand and below. So here is Ntabiseng having entered into an agreement, whether it's verbal or otherwise, and there was money that was exchanged. But now that there's supposed to be reciprocation per that contract, then it seems that the other party, or Sangezo in this situation, let me use us, is not coming to the party, in that they're not either paying for my services or they're not reimbursing me, anything of the sort. So what you do is that instead of approaching an attorney to assist you for an amount that's between 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000, whatever the amount will be, rather approach the Small Claims Court in any court that is near you. They will help you. So the process would be that when you approach the Small Claims Court, you inform them of what the situation is, and then they will help you fill in a summons. It is a very simple summons because it's not supposed to be as complicated as it is when an attorney is involved. And then they will then give you instructions on how then you will then serve this summons or a subpoena onto the respondent or the defendant in this particular matter. And then usually you go with the assistance of the police, which is always free. Then you serve this on this particular individual, and then it has a return date as to when the parties can now appear in front of the commissioner. So a commissioner is just an admitted attorney who will be sitting there and hearing the evidence and then make a ruling based on whatever verbal evidence is going to be presented before him or her. And then that's basically it. That's the gist of how a Small Claims Court works. It's simple, straight to the point. Don't stress yourself about legal fees when it comes to amounts that are that small.
A lot of the time, many people are owed money. And frankly speaking, 500 rand is a lot of money to a lot of people. And many people would be turned off. And I'm glad you made the concession that for many people who can do away with the workings or the instructing of an attorney. Yes. Can you just take your time in going through now the process of the claim? You know you owe me 500 rand. I want my 500 rand. You are not paying me my 500 rand. There is a listener who is in this position. The odds are just way too stacked in that favor as opposed to the opposite. That there's somebody right now who is owed money by somebody, even a friend, and that person is just indifferent because they think because the person is not financially well off enough to go and instruct attorneys. Also, it wouldn't make sense to do that in any event, that 500 rand is as good as lost. You are now suggesting it is not. One can pursue this, and it's not expensive, it's not complicated, and does not need the instructing of an attorney. Now, step yes. by step, please, for somebody who's taking notes or who tomorrow will want to use the services of the Small Claims Court, next steps. Take your time.
All right, no problem. Just, I'd like to correct myself. I thought I said 20,000. I've just been informed that I said 15,000 instead of 20. The threshold has increased to 20,000. So yes, any amount between 500 to 20,000 rand. So the process is that you go to any magistrate's court in your area of jurisdiction. So jurisdiction is quite important. So it is where we call the cause of action, where the issues arose from. So you'll be going to the match court in your area, and then you go and approach the clerk of the court in the civil section. And then you inform them what has transpired. The clerk of the court has to now sit with you and explain to you what the process is. They will assist you in filling in a summons because it's already a typed out summons with lots of blank spaces so that you can fill in your own details.
It's a template, essentially.
Who the parties. Exactly, exactly. So you now fill in the details of who the parties are, what amount is owed, how it happened, and all everything else surrounding the situation.
And this service does not come at a cost. because it's happening at a government facility. So if anybody starts asking you for money, then you know that is something that is reportable.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. So, and then once everything's done and dusted, then they need to go make a copy of that template that you were filling in. Mm-hmm. There has to be an original, two originals, and then there is going to be a copy, or there'll be one original or two copies. Each magistrate court tends to do a different setting of that. But what the standard is that there's one original, and then there is a copy or two copies, wherein you now go to the police station, né? From one free service to another.
Mm-hmm.
You now then go to the police station and inform them that I need assistance to go serve this particular individual this template. Wherein the clerk also has to give you another template, which is what we call a return of service, wherein the police that is assisting you, the police person that is assisting you to go and serve this item, will then fill in that they went on this particular day, they went to this particular address at this particular time, and they were able to serve this particular individual. Any person over the age of 16 can be served who is found at that particular residence. Even if it's not the actual person that owes you, but as long as there's somebody who was there to receive the paperwork, the court will recognize that as what we call a return of service, right? And then that return of service will then be handed back to you with the original, and then you take that back to the court and give it to them, wherein a date will then be allocated to you as to when this matter can be heard. And usually it's already written in the template that you're going to serve on the party anyway. So both of you are already aware that upon service, that the next date that is written on this particular piece of paper is when you're going to appear in front of a commissioner or the presiding officer at that particular time. Because you're not going to appear in front of a magistrate, you're going to appear in front of an attorney.
Usually on a Thursday. And now, let's talk about the burden of proof. I owe you, well, you owe me 500 Rand. You can just simply go there and say, I don't. Or you can say, I paid you. Just as you gave it to me cash, I gave it back to you in cash. Now, the burden of proof there, that becomes really where the true test of this debt is. Take us through what happens in court and what one should discharge.
All right. So the burden of proof lies with the person that alleges. So in this situation, either the applicant stroke the plaintiff would be the one that bears the burden, the onus to prove to the court that indeed the defendant stroke the respondent are the ones that owe me this particular amount of money. So what we always advise is that whatever agreement that you have between each other, please try and reduce it to writing. We are not saying that verbal agreements are not admissible in court. What we are saying is that they're harder to prove than the ones that are reduced to writing. So let's say, for argument's sake, as normal people would, I ask you to loan me X amount because I need to go pay my rent or something, and then I fail to repay you. In order for you to lay basis, or at least to bring some kind of weight to your burden of proof to prove that indeed there is a sort of an agreement between the parties, try not to call the individual and say, when are you paying me back? Rather send a message, a text message, an email, whatever the situation may
develop
be.
Develop a trail of some kind. Develop evidence.
Correct. And then in that way, when that person responds to that message, you can use that as an exhibit when you go to court and say, based on this, I can show that this person at minimum acknowledges that there was an agreement for a loan for 6,000 Rand between the two of us, acknowledges that they have not paid me. They are saying that they have. So now you shift the burden in that situation where now the defendant now has to prove to contradict your story based on that evidence that you have. And, it does get kind of petty, like you just said, wherein somebody said, no, but I paid you, because there is no trail of evidence that shows anything. And then it kind of ends up being dead in the water at the end of the day. But if you're able to just show a trail of evidence on how this thing started and how you ended up where you are, then you have a greater chance of success, wherein the order will be in your favor.
Very well. That's a very good start. So the point is, if somebody owes you money and it's under 20,000 Rand If you take nothing else out of this conversation, just go to the magistrate's court closest to you for guidance, and you don't have to pay a cent in an attempt to recover your monies. The question is, how many people will be going to the small claims court because Mr. John Gerica owes them money? That's the question he will answer when he takes over, standing in for Oliver Dixon on the other side of the news. Good night, everybody. It's 22 hours. Independent.